Praise your God. We thank you for the week. Thank you for this evening. With hearts full of praise and thanksgiving, with hearts full of gratitude, with a heart set on the blessedness of your presence, you're living with us, you're walking with us, we're grateful. Tonight we ask you to receive revelation again in the knowledge of your word. Let every heart here and every eyes open to see you, to know you, to love and serve you, even in our relationships, to take an utmost advantage of that blessed gift of one another, even as we walk with you in our walking with one another. We ask and receive the clarity given to every heart this evening. Yep, questions in our hearts are answered. Clarity is received. There are precision of thought, accuracy of understanding in your word. We're in the teaching, we're in our understanding. Everything that needs to be said, said. Everything that needs to be heard, received, to be walked in. Heart received, walked in. Light in every heart. Instruction of your word, beyond experiences, nuances, opinions, thought patterns, cultural biases. We ask your word gains ascendancy over every thought tonight. Only you is seen, and as we see ourselves as you see us, and you, yeah, we are edified, even as your name is glorified. We ask you to receive these in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. The whole church says, amen. Hallelujah. Let's welcome six people into service tonight and have your seat, everyone. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Right, are we ready for the word? Are we ready for the word? Amen. Matthew's gospel is our text, still on relationships. Hallelujah. I think by now we should be in relationship with one another. Amen. We're still on relationships. You know, let me say this, that the teaching of God's word must go beyond something you enjoy. Amen. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul spoke about, you know, God's word being, you know, something you, I just put it the way he said it, what you endure. You know, he says that in latter times, many shall depart from the truth. What he's talking about when he mentioned the truth, which he said many, he didn't say all shall depart. He says many shall depart from the truth. Then he says giving heed to fables, to seducing doctrines. Are we together? Giving heed, he says, to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Hallelujah. You know, so he mentioned, you know, about teachings, you know, flying about. In Ephesians 4, Paul mentions the same to the church at Ephesus. He says the deceitfulness of men, he says, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, talking about false doctrines. Deceitfulness of men. The slate of men, he says, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, so you see Paul's writing to, what's his name now? Timothy. Are we together? That's in 1 Timothy 4:1. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, dissolve the law, locked up in doctrine. For the time will come, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 now, when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, so the good teaching of God's word is also something you endure. Are we together? And sometimes, you know, it's not only the hearers that are getting bored with the word. Sometimes the teacher of the word can also get bored with the word. But Paul tells Timothy to guide against it. Are we together? If you're a student of the word of God, you shouldn't be bored. If you're a teacher of the same, you should not be bored. You know, so that means it's possible that after a while, you start getting bored of hearing the same things over and over. You shouldn't get bored. In fact, inconsistency is where spiritual growth is. Hearing the same things. So you become assured of it. The same things. He says to Timothy also in the same text. In the same text, in chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, and then I think that should be in verse 22. It is 2 Timothy 2. Are we together? Verse 2 rather, not 22. 2 verse 2. He says, the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Someone say the same thing. Who shall be able to teach others also. So the same thing. So many things might change, but the teachings cannot change. That's how growth is received. And also, you mustn't be tired of hearing the same things. More so when we're looking at a study in series. You know, say, oh, we've been looking at these things. Yes, that is why it is God's word that has to be properly taught, and it takes time. So I'm back again. We're looking at relationships. Hallelujah. Walking with one another. In Matthew's Gospel 28, which is our text, it says in 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Alright? So we have an instruction to disciple or to be discipled. We have that instruction to, like we said, what is discipleship? Discipleship is to communicate God's perspective to living and inspire people and walk and help people rather, you know, walk with them to inspire people and to help them to walk in those perspectives. Discipleship, I say again, is communicating God's perspective to life, communicating God's perspective to living, and inspiring others and, you know, helping them or making them to walk in it. In Matthew 18 again, which is one of our texts again, we see an instruction on reconciliation. Are we together? Reconciliation. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, if your brother shall trespass against thee. And then when you read through the four Gospels, you see that word brother many times. And the audience of Jesus knew Jesus was not being gender biased. So that statement on what to do to your brother also applies to what to do to your sister. Are we together? But the word brother there is an old word that implies brethren. So it has to do with somebody that you have a relationship with. And like I said, in the context of Jesus' speakings, it's referred to a fellow Jew. A fellow Jew. Now, you'll find another word in the four Gospels that does that word perfectly. It is the word neighbor. Your neighbor. So you can literally translate the word neighbor. You can insert it to replace the word brother. In this text of Matthew 18:15, if thy neighbor shall trespass against you, the same as saying is your brother. Because the word brother, Adelphos, has to do with somebody that you have the same heritage with. Someone you have the same lineage with. Like someone you have the same birth lineage with, or birth descent with. somebody you are related. So brother, you know, today we have different words for it. You can use the word fellow citizen. You can use the word colleague. Someone you share a particular, you know, relationship, you have a commonness with. A commonness with. So it's not just talking about gender. It applies to any human. If your brother has something against you, are we together? Are we together? If your neighbor has something against you, are we together? Or trespass against you, rather. Not that something against you. Has trespass against you. He says, go and tell him. Then it is, you've gained your brother. So he's not just referring to a gender. That's what I'm pointing out. So we see Jesus here spoke about relationships. Now, the question which I think we might be able to answer today, if not, we'll answer it again on Sunday, is the word, who is my brother? Or who is my neighbor? And I just look it up for some 10 minutes, because I'll teach on that later on. Are we together? Who is my brother? Something like that. A teaching subject. Who is my brother? We're going to answer the question, who is my brother? You know, it's important. Sometimes you might think you know something until God's word is taught, then you discover that, wow, I didn't see that way before. That means it's necessary to teach it. Don't forget we said, seeing it the way God was, sees it. Hallelujah. So if you have not seen it the way God sees it, then you haven't seen it properly. You haven't seen it properly. So quickly, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. In Matthew 19, we also see Jesus resolving a relationship issue. He resolves chaos in relationships. And we take wisdom from there. Came to pass that Jesus had finished his saying, departed from Galilee, came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. Great multitudes followed him. He healed them there. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. I remember a couple of weeks ago someone asked me, so who made the statement? Who made the statement in verse 5? Because I think you went to check around, what's it called? Genesis 1, and then it looked like, you know, Adam was the one who made the statement. So I just asked the question. I said, is it Adam that made that statement, or is it Moses that made the statement? It's looking. He said, that's what I'm asking. I said, I'm asking you too. I said, I'm asking you too. So I just give a hint. I said, look at it. Jesus is teaching from the text, right? He said, yes. Was Jesus, like, you understand what I'm saying? It's fine, just for some people here. Yeah, okay. So I said, Jesus explained the text. Yes. So is Jesus explaining from Genesis? Yes. So what is Jesus doing from the Genesis text where this verse is quoted? Is he referencing it, or is he referencing it, or is he teaching doctrine from it? Then he said, he's teaching doctrine from it. So I said, okay. So does Jesus teach doctrine from the words of Adam, or he will teach doctrine from the words of Moses? Does he merely reference words of Moses, or he references words of Adam? So which one does Jesus reference? Which one does he use to establish doctrine? Are we together? Do the check in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then come back to this text and find out what Jesus was doing here. Is he making reference, or is he teaching doctrine? Then you have your answer. Whether the statement was made by God, or it was made, because in Matthew's text here, it made even look as though it's God that made the statement. Are we together? You know, but definitely there's a whole lot of syntax issue here. If you put everything together, you will know who made the statement. Are we together? All right. So he says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause, you know, because you say and said in red. So you think and said is also Jesus' words. How would you get it? He said, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Praise God. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Don't forget Malachi 2:16 text that God hated putting away. He says he hates it. So if he says God hates it, any text or scripture that makes it look as though God permits the putting away will be God accommodating man's unbelief, which is not his will. I hope we're clear on that now. It is not his will. So look at that. He says, he which made them at the beginning. So Jesus points us to the beginning, in which we I've come to conclude on as the image of God. The image of God. So we see that humanity was made to function as the image of God, or you can say in the image of God, you're saying the same thing. And we have said that the image of God is what we refer to as holiness. In a world of chaos, we must explain, you know, that is the word define. It's fine. If defining is explaining, then define is right. But we don't define Bible times, we explain them. So, holiness, we can define holiness or explain holiness, are we together, as bearing the image of God. Is it clear? Is it clear now? Is it clear? Don't forget the Hebrews 12:14 text, right? I almost say Hebrews 14:12. Hebrews 12:14. The Hebrews 12:14 text mentions your holiness, right? As your what? Your love work, right? It says, without it, no man shall what? See the Lord. That is, people don't know what God looks like if we do not reflect Him. So when it says you are the light of the world, it's saying that man knows the Lord through you. Men discover the character of God through you as we bear His image. So God, you know, He saves Israel, He redeems Israel, He delivers Israel, and Israel is on their way to Canaan. And God knows that Canaan already have its culture, its way of thinking, its ideology, its mode of worship. So God told Israel, you are not going to be like the other nations. You are going to be different in how you are going to bear my image. So that being different from other nations is what is called holiness. So Israel is going to be among the nations of the world, even though Israel belongs to God. Are we together? Are we together? So I can say that I am in the world, but I am not of the world. Did you get it? I am in the world, but I belong to God. Do you belong to God? Do you belong to God? I am in the world, but I belong to God. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. I belong to God. I bear His image. I bear His image means I reflect God. If I do not bear His image, then I am living for vanity. Or I am taking up His image in vain. Are we together? Are we together? So I don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't forget the 2 Timothy 2 text in verse 18. It says, the Lord knows them that what? Are His. Hallelujah. Then it says, let them that name the name of the Lord do what? Depart. It means to be separate from evil. So we said that holiness is because we belong to God. It doesn't make us belong to God, but it shows that we belong to God. That means holiness is expressed in our relationships. Are we together? Are we together? Because it is in the midst of our associations and relationships that we will demonstrate our belonging to God. God already knows you belong to Him. God already knows that you belong to Him. I said on Sunday that if there is faith in your heart, the Spirit of God already dwells in your heart. Romans 10:8-15. The Spirit of God already dwells in your heart. So God already knows those who are His. But in our relationships, we are meant to reflect God. That is where holiness comes in. So holiness will help others to see God's character. And primarily, in our holiness walk, or our walk in holiness, is our walk in love. So when I walk in love, I am bearing His image. I am bearing His name. And I am functioning in my identity. Are we together? Are we together? So we said at the close of last meeting, in Exodus 20, Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. He said it in verse 1. We said verse 1 has to do with worship. And the Lord thy God which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, salvation. Verse 3, worship. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, worship. Verse 4, worship. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven what? Image. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or things that are in earth beneath, or things that are in the waters under the earth, worship. Look into your Bibles. Verse 5, Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God with the iniquity of the father upon the children, unto the third generation or fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Then next thing he says, again, worship. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it what? Holy. Are we together? Keep it holy. Then the next thing he says, 6 days therefore, he says the Lord, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and it shall, and thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy men servant, thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. He says, the rest, and rested the 7 day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Then it is, honor thy father and your mother. Did you see that? So we said, worship flows into what? Relationships. The next statement after devotion to God is relationship. So he then explains further. He says, thou shalt not kill. Are we together? He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. He says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy fellow. That means killing affects people. Is that revelation? Is that revelation? Is that a revelation to you? Is that a discovery? No. Are we together? Alright. But what about stealing? Stealing affects people. Adversely, adultery affects people. Adversely, adultery ruins marriages, ruins lives. Are we together? Ruin lives. Bearing false witness against your neighbor. False witness. It ruins lives. Then it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor thy what? Manservant, nor maidservant, nor his ox, or his ass. It says, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's. That is thy neighbor's. Nor people's authority. So again, it deals with love. Love in our relationships. Praise God forevermore. Love in our relationship. So you see how faith in God translates into worship. True. Worship translates into three. Honor translates into love. So one is a child of the other. Faith in God will birth what? Worship and devotion to him. My worship and devotion to God will birth honor for relationships. My honor for relationships will inspire what? Love. What is love? Love is commitment. 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 So the image of God is what describes me. We said that on Sunday. It describes me. Hallelujah. We also said on Sunday that we have diverse relationships as God walks through men. Different relationships. Father to son or to daughter. Son to father or to mother. You don't have to write that. I mean, just explaining. You have daughter to father or mother, right? Mother to what? To son or to daughter. Isn't it? That's family. All of our uncle. We have uncle, right? Some of us here are uncles. Are we together? We're uncles. Amen. I'm actually someone's uncle. Are we together? All right. So we have uncles. What else? Cousins. Right? Right? How many of you have cousins here? You have cousins. If you have cousins, are you also cousins to the person? Thank you. What about nephew? What about aunts? You have them, right? Okay, leave the family tree. Come outside. What other relationships do we have? In your academics, you have what? Student, right? So maybe lecturer, isn't it? Or student to student, isn't it? Classmate, right? Okay, leave academics, job. What relationships do we have? Employee to what? Employer. So if you are an employee, amen, you have a boss, isn't it? Isn't it? Over you, right? Right? Maybe you know, some of us also depending on the organization, you can have more than one boss. You know, a boss can be the owner of the company, but you can also be in a unit, and in that unit you have a what? A boss. So let's say you are in the HR. So you have the senior HR, right? The senior HR person, you know, and then you are maybe you are an intern, or you are just at the entry point. Are we together? So you have those who are in senior roles. Maybe you are in junior role. So you have those relationships in our neighborhood, those who live around us, right? We have, you know, people in our vicinities. We have relationships everywhere. God wants us to bear His image in those relationships. Are we together? I said on Sunday that we also have, in these relationships, we have vertical relationships, right? Right? Vertical relationships. And when we have vertical relationships, in those relationships, sometimes somebody is looking up to you. Like parents, it's a vertical relationship. Father to son or to daughter is a vertical relationship. You're looking up. Someone is looking up to you. We all here have people who look up to us. Sometimes they are looking up onto us to just be models. You know, what we can call role models. Role models. Role models. Are we together? Role models. And then, you know, for some, they are looking up to you for, you know, what I can call sustenance. Maybe you give them allowance every month. Monthly allowance. Pocket money. Are we together? It could be younger ones. It could be children. Your children. They look up to you. Some is not for money, but for, you know, any kind of resource. So look at this. I told us that we have a duty to all of those relationships. And sometimes the vertical relationships will also be in the Lord. Are we together? The vertical relationship can also be where? In the Lord. In the Lord. The vertical relationship will be in the Lord. You know, that means you have the head of unit. Like let's say the music team now, you have the music team leader. Or in the ushering, you have the leader of the ushering team or the leaders of the ushering team. And then you have people also in the ushering team who are non-leaders. And sometimes they look up for direction. They look up to you for direction. Sometimes in the church, you have the pastor and the congregation or someone in the congregation looks up to you for direction, for wisdom. They look up to you. So it's not just for money in vertical relationships. People can look up to you for clarity, for direction, for insight, for wisdom. You know, and it's very easy to treat people that are looking up to you anyhow. So we have a duty in those relationships to honor everyone. You must honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must what? You must honor everyone in our relationships. Everyone. Everyone. You must honor what? Everyone. Everyone. Including those who look up to you. You must honor. Are we together? You know, it's easy to honor those you look up to. You must also honor the one looking up to you. Because God works through those relationships. Praise God. Do you remember the story of Naaman? Right? Do you remember the story? The Assyrian captain, general. The Bible said he had word on him now. Leprosy. Some of you have not seen what leprosy looks like before. I've seen it a couple of times. Because I've gone to places before to pray for people who are leprous in their houses. And the first thing that leprosy does is that it takes away all your kappas and, you know, your, is this kappas or metakappas? This is kappas. Which one is metakappas? No? Yeah, I know what I'm saying. All right. Praise God. Leprosy chops off all of your fingers. It removes it. I didn't say it will affect it. It cuts it away. That's what leprosy does. It takes this away. Then afterwards, it takes this one. As though it's a human being. It knows exactly what it's doing. Take this away. Then take this away. Then take this away. So imagine your arm without all these fingers. It does it for the two hands. It does it for the two legs. That's just one of the simplest things it does. Leprosy. And it's incurable. It's a very terrible disease. You know. So, yeah. I won't talk about those scenarios. You know. The guy has leprosy on him. And then, he goes to the prophet, Elisha. Are we together? Because one of the signs of a prophet is that they have the healing gifts. A prophet. The prophet or a prophet has a healing ministry. Is it clear? He has signs and wonders as a proof that the things he says is God's counsel. So God gives him signs. When God gives him a message, God follows it up with signs so that when he bears the message, the signs happen, people can know that no, God sent him. The prophet. So he goes to Elisha, and then look at what Elisha does. Elisha doesn't come to him. He could call him proud, but no. He doesn't come to him. So Elisha tells them to tell the guy. He says, let him go, because you know he came as a boss. A military general comes to your pastor. So he sits down there, and the pastor says, let the protocol team go tell him what to do. He demands, he says, I want to see your pastor. You know. Are we together? Then he says, tell him to go to Jordan and dip himself in the water. How many times? 7 times. Now, you know, Jordan was a kind of river that, if you know, the Naaman guy, a military general, was someone who also had a good taste of luxury. So Jordan is a public pool. Besides the fact that you don't want to be seen exposing your body, are we together? You don't want to enter that kind of water. But that was going to be a test. Humility. Are we together? Humility. So, he already got offended. He wasn't going to go. After the servant of the prophet came to him and said, that was Gehazi. He came to him and he said, the prophet said you should go do this. He said, no. He says, I crossed many waters to come to Jordan. To come to the prophet, rather. I crossed many waters. There are many great waters. Why not the prophet just tell me to go? I mean, just get, you know, one of those, you know, if it's you know, does it make sense to you? What is he trying to say? Sometimes he will tell you that. Is God not in every city? Can't you serve God in that city too? Are you trying to say that city is the only place where you can serve God? Supernatural instructions. Say, can't you just tell me to get into any of those waters? Then look at this. It was his maid that now spoke sense to him. Are we together? The maid now spoke sense to him. He didn't ask for your money. If he had asked for all your wealth, would you have given it? Yes, I would have given it. Because the stigma is not as, is more serious than my wealth. My wealth is not as important to me as the stigma. I just want to be healed. That was desperate. If he had asked for your gold and silver, would you not have given it? I would have given him. If he had asked for something very important, would you not have given it? He says, you can use the water. Now it's just 7 times. And the guy says, okay. Then he goes and he puts himself in the water. And on the 7th time, he was clean. Are we together? He was clean. If he had not listened, if he had not honored the words of the servant, are we together? He wouldn't be healed. So God can put wisdom and direction. God can put counsel on the lips of people who look up to us. The person looking up to you, God can put his wisdom in their heart. You know, Pharaoh must have honored Joseph. Yeah. He says, call him, bring him. It is a, who is that convict? Convict? Of all we are discussing here, is it a convict that a convict? If God was living in him, what's he doing in the prison? I'm gonna come off it. No, he's a bringer. And Joseph came, gave the interpretation. And you know, Pharaoh was a wise man. Are we together? That Pharaoh was what? Was a wise man. He looked at him, he said, you know, after he had said, let the king find, you know, a honest man that is just. He looked at him. He said, I think you should do it. That's a wise man. That's a wise person. Because look at this. Look at this. Never discern problems without having the solutions. Because that is wisdom. You don't need wisdom to know problems. You don't. Many people like that, they have, the social media is full of them. You don't need to be smart or intelligent to know problem. But you require wisdom. Wisdom is required to know solutions to problems. That's why some of our leaders in church, I tell them, I said, don't just come to me with the challenge. Even if we're not going to do exactly what you suggested, at least have a what? Have a suggestion. It's a sign of leadership that somebody has a leadership spirit or a trait. You discern the issue immediately. You at least have, you must have suggestions and have more than one. You must have ideas, have more than one. So Vernon looked at him, he said, you saw the problem. You have the solution. Then you have the wisdom. You have the wisdom. Then it puts him at the right hand. That's where we get the concept of the right hand from. The right hand. It is the right side, right hand. So he made him the right hand of the king. Someone say honor. I must honor my relationships. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? I must honor my what? Relationships. So we'll pick it up from there. And I just go over my notes with you. We said before that in the Old Testament books, we see God presented as a parent, right? How many of you know God is taught as a parent in the Old Testament books? He's taught as a parent. Thank you. You see the fatherhood of God. Then you see God also being described, you know, like a mother. A mother. You know, the one who brings forth, the one who nurtures. We also see in the scriptures, he is described as a brother. The kinsman. The one who takes care of your interest behind you. A kinsman. Now, today, I want you to be very patient. Or me, I'll be patient. But I want you to be very attentive. We can, you know, today we have a relationship we call next of kin, right? Right? Next of kin. So, God is also described as the next of kin in the scriptures. One who functions as the next of kin. In the scriptures, God is described as a master. In 2026 today, the word master could be replaced by the word employer. The one who you work for and rewards your labor. Are we together? God is described as such in scriptures. God is also described as a servant. He describes himself, Jesus many times describes himself as the one who comes to serve. The same God has a description in scriptures as a servant. He also has a description in scripture as a friend and a brother. A friend and a brother. He is also described as a king, which also follows, you know, master. But king as per the one you worship. The one you worship. So he is described, look at this, as a king. The one who is worshipped. The same God is described as a servant. The one who worships another. So God is described both as the one who is worshipped and a worshipper. And there's a reason why the same God. God is described as a savior. A savior. Are we together? Are we together? The Old Testament describes him in this light. All shades of relationships. God is also described as the shepherd of the sheep. Are we together? But look at something. He describes He's described as the shepherd of the sheep. Look at something. In another scenario in the scriptures, he is described as one of the sheep. I am Jesus whom you persecute. He described himself as one of the sheep. One of the sheep. Amen. Let me ask another question. Was Jesus a citizen? A citizen? So he was a citizen. The same God, Jesus, a citizen. Was he a Christian leader? Someone can call a Christian a religious leader? Yes, he was. The same Jesus, a religious leader. So look at this. As a citizen, God gives us his image. The answer to all of these relationship issues is the image of God. Now, is Jesus described as a husband? Or is God described as a husband? See, you have to be careless reader of the Bible not to see it. Are we together? And if you don't see that, did we see or hear his perspectives on spousal relationships? Thank you. So can we say we have God's image from Jesus regarding spousal relationships? Husband and wife. Do we? Thank you. What about son to parents? A child to parents? Do you recall Jesus on the cross? He turns to who? John. It's his mother. He says, behold your what? Your son. Then he points to, what's his name now? John. He says, to take care of what? Are we together? Alright. Pay attention. So, colleagues at work, neighbor, friendships, spousal relationships, and so on, like I've listed, you are God's image. So I said that there's the wisdom of God in handling all of my relationships in the image of God. Contained in the image of God, I'm saying it in a different way. Contained in the image of God is the wisdom of God to handle all what? My what? Relationships. Contained in the image of God is sufficient wisdom to undo all of my relationships and my associations. So in my relationships, I bear the image of God. I don't bear my culture. See what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying? I don't bear my what? Look at everybody. Can you hear what I'm saying? I don't bear my what? So look at this. We are from the tribe of so-and-so. We don't marry from the tribe of so. That is not the what? The image of God. We are from a thief. We don't marry a Shekiri. No, we are from Ijebu. And the Ijebu that we are from this aspect of Ijebu, we don't really relate with. No. That is chaos. Are we together? See, you don't have issues with that ideology because you are in love with the person. You have issues with that ideology because it is not the image of God. So even when the conflict, are we together? That conflict of we don't marry from, we don't relate with, even when that conflict is not happening with you, it's happening with somebody else, it does not make it fine. Because sometimes there's a way we can be quiet on things that others are dealing with, and when it concerns us, we raise the necessary approach to handle it. It's not going to become God's word because it involves you. Even when it didn't involve you, that is God's word, God's image. Indeed, clear. Suddenly, a man and a woman cohabiting does not affect you because it is not you that you are doing it. Whether it is you or not, that arrangement, that association is not what? God's image. It is not. It is not because you are involved. Are we together? There is God's wisdom for every relationship. Every relationship. It is not God's image. What about polygamy? Eh? What about polygamy? Oh, we are not ready for it. I will make you ready. What about polygamy? What's polygamy now? What's polygamy? Tell me. Husband and wife? A madman and... Okay, a man married brother. I thought you said a madman and many wives. Are we together? So, look at this. Polygamy, amen, is not God's what? Image. You know, people say things like, but Abraham married many wives now. Abby? Have you heard before? That Abraham had many wives. They would say even Moses. Not Moses, rather. David. That can you see that those that are close to God's heart. He said, Ahab had one wife and he perished. Are we together? He said, Are you sure this thing? Even our father of faith has many wives. And he suffered from it. He suffered from it. Are we together? And when he was suffering from it, God was quiet. God was quiet. What about David? He saw Shege. And in all the Shege's, as he was saying, God was quiet. The art of marrying multiple women, are we together? Is man's culture. It is not God's plan. Don't worry, we will come back to this in detail and look at it in the scriptures too. Are we together? There are a number of things I will mention in passing. We'll now come back and do a study. What about one woman, many men? Oh, that one is not happening. What do you call that one? Polyandry. Have we? It is not the image of God. You know the reason why we are usually particular about the one woman, many men, but we kind of treat the one man, many women, is because we are in a patriarchal society. In a patriarchal society. In a feminist society, you have the other one. Both the patriarchy and the feminist whatever, they are not God's image. Feminism is not the image of God. And patriarchy is not what? The image of God. The idea of male genders are should be more prominent and are superior to the women. Man is superior to the woman. That is chaos. And the idea of women, because one thing about humanity is that when there is error in an area, it is natural to humanity to correct an error. You get into what? Another error. So in a bid to correct a what you call patriarchy, they fly again, they cross over into what? Feminism. Both are two sides of a bad coin. The coin is bad. Both feminism and patriarchy, they are two sides of a bad coin. Do you get it? So when Paul was going to say a Christian leader, what did he say? A husband of what? One wife. Because the Christian leader will at least mirror God to us. Is it clear? So now don't cross into the error. So what happens when a man who has multiple wives joins the church? Do we accept him or reject him? We accept him. What happens when he gets devoted to the Lord, he's growing spiritually? Does he have to divorce his wives? Some of you are saying no. Does he have to divorce his wives? How many of you agree that this requires a study in God's word? Okay. We are going to harvest the nation. Are we going to encounter such scenarios? Plenty of them. Must we have wisdom in God's word? Do we address it emotionally? No. Are we together? So, but whatever the fellow does in the church, can he become a Christian leader? He can. Okay. I won't talk about it. We're going to study it. But the scriptures are clear. It says, the leader, because look at this, the leader is the one that we can look at and see God's plan. This is God's plan being expressed. Look at another thing. Paul said that the one who will be a leader, are we together? He said, must be able to take care of his own what? Household. Because again, that mirrors the character of God. We might see that tonight or Sunday. I told us that the epistles are going to give us wisdom on all the what? Relationships. I told us about 2 weeks ago. And that's what we are doing. Are we together? So, where you have polygamy. Are we together? Amen. That's not what? It is not the image of God. So in case you have a brother here, Pastor, is there anything wrong with him? What should we tell the brother? How should we respond to the brother? Have you not read that he which made them what? Male and female. When you made them in the beginning, made them what? Faith and said, Abby, what did he say? For this cause shall a man leave what? Father and mother, and cleave unto women. Is that what he said? And cleave unto what? Women. And the how many? Is that the twin? Two shall be one flesh. So these are many now. And the extra one shall be the second flesh, the third flesh. Oh, it's a diet roof. They are spoiled yet. Are we together? That is not God's word image. You say, men are polygamous in nature. That's madness. Are we together? Lack of self-control is a human thing. It's not a gender thing. Don't go and listen to that stupid thing. Men are like a broken tape. Tape to the budget. That's how they sound. And because you two are a stupid Christian, those things make sense to you. Mele, Brother Cochrane. Are we together? That is not what the image of what? Of God. Is it clear? Is it clear? There's a reason why Moses, in talking about marital relationships, was very emphatic. See, you can't come out of Genesis and not see that God's plan is a man and what? A woman in marital relationships. You can't come out of Genesis and not see that. It is now, later on, that you will see the practice of many what? Women and a man. And that discussion of many women and a man was while the writer was describing the chaos that has entered humanity. The chaos that has entered humanity. So say, but by population, the number of women on the, see, all of the, did you go and count women in their rooms? Say by population, the number of women are 5 to 1. Even the Bible says a time will come that 7 women shall cleave to 1 man. So we shall not go any. Is it happening on your seat? Even the Bible said, where did he say, I forgot, how will you not forget? But it's in your Bible, which Bible? The time will come that 11 women will go and gather one man, give us your name, as it ever happened. That's not what the text was saying. And at least wait for that one of us. We just come and then just justify things. Are we together? The image of what? Of God. So my culture is not what gives me an identity. God's word does. My profession is not where I get my identity from. I don't get my identity from my academic status, literate or not. No. I don't wear my culture. I don't wear my financial status. I wear the image of who? Of God. Did you see that? I wear the image of what? Of God. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Everybody want to go? 1 Timothy 6. Give me some 10, 15 more minutes and I'll close tonight. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6, everybody, want to go? 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then in verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, praise God forevermore. Verse 17. Want to go? Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high minded, nor trusting, nor sad riches, but in the what? Who giveth us richly all things to us? To enjoy. Look at verse 18. That they do good, be rich in what? Be rich in cars, be rich in clothes, be rich in houses, be rich in foodstuffs. He says you'll be rich in what? Now, is it wrong to have those things I just mentioned? No. But it turns your attention to where your attention should what? Should be. Do not be a foolish rich person. He says, be rich in good works, ready to what? Distribute, willing to what? Communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation again in time to come. He says, that they may lay hold on what? Eternal life. Does this look like God judges how I spend my money? He said, no, because you are not reading. Does it look like God is interested and he judges how I spend my money? Yes. Anytime you read the time to come, the words to come, he's talking about rewards. Now he says you will lay in store. Read the text again. Read the text again. Laying what? Everyone. Open your mouth. Once you go, lay what? Everybody is not reading. I want everybody to read that text. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 19. 1, 2, go. That they may. Now, do you think this eternal life is the new birth? No. Eternal life here talks about the reward of God, that they may have rewards, that they may lay hold on eternal life. They may have rewards. So God judges the way I spend my money. So even with wealth, I must not carry my wealth status. I must bear the what? The image of God in administering earthly resources. So the things that God rewards, or let me put it this way, the things that will receive a good reward are the things I do while I am functioning in God's image. If I refuse not to function in His image, He says, I am taking His name in vain. Is another way of saying, I am living a life of what? Vanity. It is vanity. The things I do in not functioning in God's image is vain. It's vanity. Is vanity. So look at this. God spoke of salvation in Exodus 20, verse 2. Salvation. Then the next thing he talks about worship into verse 7. Then the next thing he talks about worship still, verse 8, 9. Then he talks about the Sabbath. Then he talks about relationships, honor for relationships. So I put this in my notes. I said, I must honor relationships. I must what? Honor relationships. The teaching on honor is waiting for us in the year. And I'm going to focus a lot on relationships. Walking in honor. I must honor what? Relationships. What does it mean to honor? Or what does honor mean? Honor means something is precious. Honor implies that something or someone is of value. To treat as precious and valuable. I say it again. To treat as precious and valuable. To treat as what? Precious and what? Valuable. Are we together? Are we together? Look at it. If I bring a pin and I bring it close to your eyeballs, what will you do? If your hand does not make me chop slab first, at least it will divert my finger, isn't it? What are you doing? You are guarding the socket, right? Because it's of what? Value. See, that keeping it away from hurt is honor. To protect it. So that shows you that honor or walking in honor has many expressions. It has many expressions. Honor or to walk in honor has what? Many expressions. But what is the goal? The goal is that you are treating it as what? Precious, as valuable. You are protecting it. Is it clear? So we ought to protect our relationships. It means you can't be careless with your relationships.
If you are told to protect a relationship, it means things will come for it. Things will come for it to hurt it. Things will come for it to affect it. So, honor is in activities. It means to not be passive. In honor, you are active towards something. Is it clear? That is why I usually say that you don't have to actively dishonor someone. Just refuse to honor. That's enough dishonor. Honor. It means to treat as precious, as valuable, as uncommon. As uncommon. To treat something or someone with respect. Glory to God. Now look at this. Don't miss this. Pay attention. I said this in my note. I said, if in the holiness of God, He wants us to treat men with honor, how are we going to treat them with honor? It means that we are going to see men the way God sees them. We are going to what? We are going to what? So in God's holiness, He wants us to honor men. It means we are going to see men as what? God sees them. I see people as God sees them. Are we together? I see men as God sees them. I see men as God sees them. Don't forget, 90 to 95% of what God will do, He will do towards relationships. Now let me tell you the truth now. Many of those relationships will not be with people that are born again. It will not be. It will not be. So that when we are talking about honor, you don't just see church members alone. It will not be. It will not be those who are born again. It will not be. Man was created to function what? All of humanity, not just Christians. The difference is that you are already functioning in it. And that's if you're acting on the word. It will be. Will it include Muslims? Will God use them? For His plan in your life? Yes. You must also know how to handle those relationships. And you must know what not to do with what. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? So you don't go and marry a cheater and say, she be a gospel. You must know who is who. You go and marry a crocodile. He will just swallow you and your destiny. But God is going to use what? God is going to use it. Is it clear? Is it clear? So I must see men as what? God sees them. Now how do I know how God sees people? How do I know? How do I know? Through what? Discipleship. You're right. Thank you. Now look at this. God describes people. Where? How? With His words. God describes people using His words. You are the one that describes people with different other parameters. What God says about them is who they are. Is it clear? Is it clear? God doesn't describe people using the social media. You are the one. Amen. You know, God doesn't use Facebook, right? Right? God doesn't describe people on his media platform. So there's no social media accounts to go to know how God sees people. It is in his word. The word of God is God's media. So we are going to see people rightly when we look at the word of God. God doesn't use Twitter to rant about people, to tell the world that these people are disobedient. No, God doesn't. God doesn't use social media or blogs to describe a particular preacher. No! God uses his word to describe his what? His men. Are you listening to me this evening? God uses his word to describe his what? His men. If you like, treat a man of God the way Twitter described him, you are going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. So you join those idiots and foolish speaking individuals to run your mouth on God's anointed. He's going to judge you. Go and ask Miriam and Aaron. When God sent Moses to them, he came with a word that Moses was going to be the prophet through whose hands God was going to deliver his people. The personal life of God's prophets should not be on your lips. Should not be on your lips. Should not be on your lips. It is not your business. Look at what Paul said. Paul said, the one who has sent us on errand is the one that will what? That will judge. So a servant of the Lord to his Lord and Master, a master, he stands and is judged. Not on your lips. And if you are listening to me tonight, I am warning you by the Spirit of God. I am warning you. If you don't want leprosy, go and read Aaron and Miriam again. In 2026, the leprosy doesn't have to appear as the one I described. You just observe that there is no progress. You just observe. You just observe that there is no progress. And let me tell you who is behind it. God himself. He said he will resist the proud. God himself. He says, don't touch my anointed. Today, touching on my anointed includes what you chat about them. Christians must be smart. Must be smart. That's why you observe that there's a wide gap between some people today, you know, they call them fathers. You observe that wide gap between their ministry, the fruits, the results, and some churches that are just getting up today. Why are we not able to do as much? They knew some things you don't do because of your walk with God. They knew. They knew that you don't open your mouth and lash at a fellow servant of God. They believed in restoring one another and praying for one another. We believe in media crucifixion of the people of God. Why are you so loud? They say, that preacher said, he now did this, he now did this, he now did this, he now did this. That preacher. Why are you so loud on it? He say, is he your pastor? No. What's your business? What's your own business? You run your mouth. Whether you like it or not, he's anointed. And God has not put his judgment on your lips. The Lord will deal with him. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? The Lord will deal with him for misconduct. He will now deal with you also for your looseness. That is the Lord. He will deal with you. He will correct you. He will rebuke you. Love does not mean you will not rebuke. In fact, if you love, you will correct. Don't join them on those media blogs. Don't join them. Don't join them. Don't join them. You corrupt what God is doing in your own life when you join them to stab another minister of the gospel, whether he is wrong or wrong or right. And this is not a teaching to inspire ministers of the gospel doing wrong things. But you must be smart. In our family, we don't put people out to crucify them on the rope. In the house, we judge our issues. Don't be stupid. Leave him alone. Focus on your own work. And now we will know you are better. If the Lord give you a similar platform, we will see what you will do. So when another falls, we don't laugh at him or point a finger. We learn from it. Did you get it? Did you get it? We do what? We learn from it. We learn what not to do. What not to say, we learn from it. Ask your neighbor, say, are you learning? I'm saying this because the media is now in everybody's houses. The whole world is literally just in front of, in your hands now, the whole world. I need to close. They are bear the image of God. So God doesn't use Twitter to describe people. God doesn't use Facebook to describe people. God uses what? His word. Are we together? Are we together? So if I will do his word, I will treat people the way God wants me to treat them. Yes. Yes. In the holiness of God, he wants me to treat people the way he sees them. He wants me to honor relationships in the holiness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget, part of honoring people in that holiness, in that devotion to God, it is our honor father and what? And mother. In the holiness of God, honor thy father and your mother. Oh, in a culture where women was treated as second class, in God's holiness, in God's holiness, how does he see women? He sees them as the equal side of the tabernacle. In God's holiness, how does he see women? He sees them as a part and parcel of the temple. In God's holiness, how does he see women? He sees them as the image of God, just like the man. So, how am I going to treat women in the holiness of God? I'm going to treat them not as a second class citizen. I'm going to treat women as the image of God. I'll treat them as ministers of the gospel. So there is no gender discrimination in how we treat women. A world with no gender discrimination. That is the church. It's declared. Someone walked into the service. He says, I love that church. Talking about our church here. He says, a woman says it was a woman that opened the service. I say, in 2025, your brain is still plagued by that mindset. It's a plague, it's a cancer. He said, hey, what kind of church is that? How can a woman be the one opening their service? Ah, he's opening the service that you saw. Next time you come around, say, once you will see that person. In the image of God, He puts His Spirit on women. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? In the Old Testament books, go check it. Women were prophesying. In fact, sometimes you have to be a careless reader. How will you go through the Old Testament and not see Miriam was called the prophetess? The Old Testament, in a world where it was toughly and thoroughly patriarchal, God raised His own women and put His Spirit on them. And when Miriam prophesied, the whole nation of Israel will follow, including their men and their women. He says, I would that all His people, right, be what? Prophets. Men and women. Prophets. Even I told you, maybe we're going to talk about that during the conference. I told you that the first person to teach God's word in the Bible was a woman. Was a woman. She was found explaining God's counsel to the serpent. If you open the Bible, the first human being that the word of God was on her lips is a woman. When He was raised from the dead again, the same God, the first person that observed the resurrection was a woman. She now was sent to the other apostles to evangelize them. How would you not see the John 4 text when Jesus sent the woman of Samaria into the city? She went into the city and people followed her out. How would you not see women like Deborah? How would you not see in the scriptures? How would you not see what's her name? Rahab. Are we together? He says, by faith, Rahab. And the book in Hebrews 11 was to talk about prophets, men of faith. Rahab was described as a woman of faith. A teacher of faith. A word of faith teacher. Woman. Are we together? So we don't see women as what? Second class citizens. Some say, what about in the marriage? Wait for me, I explain that. I talk about that before I round up this teaching on Sunday. Is it clear? We don't see women as second class citizens. Women are not second class. In the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are as effective. Are we together? As men. In the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same Spirit, right? The same salvation, right? Right? Or does women have junior Holy Ghost? No. The same Spirit. The same Lord. The same faith. That was why when God is going to save men, the same mode of entering the kingdom that He gives to the men, He gives to who? The women. Faith in the gospel. Glory to God forevermore. So no second class citizenship here. Are we together? So He says, honor your mother. In that culture, He says, honor your mother. Honor your father and mother. Male and female, Genesis 1:27. He created them. Glory to God forevermore. So you cannot have an African man mindset. An African man mindset. You cannot have, a Yoruba man mindset. You must have God's word mindset. Yes, I know you're a Yoruba person, but God's word. You don't bear your culture. You bear the what? The image of God. You bear the image of God. Some of us, we have that African man mindset. Hey, who told you that? Some of us even read the Bible that way. They said Paul is against women. No, Paul wasn't against women. Paul was explaining their role in the home. He said, Paul said, suffer a woman not to teach. How will Paul say that? When Paul says, every one of you had a doctrine. Everyone. He says, one should speak after the other. Are we together? Including the women. When he says, all this worketh that one of the self-same spirit. Are we together? Dividing to every man as he wills, including the women. Are we together? Including the women. Go check Romans 16. The first person Paul wrote in Romans 16 was a woman. Are we together? The first person spoke about Mary, spoke about Phoebe, spoke about what we call Priscilla, spoke about Junia, and many others. Many others. Many others. Glory to God forevermore. So look at this. We are bound by God's word. We are bound by His laws and His constitution. And in that constitution, we see people the way He sees them. So there is a way I must see my relationships. I must see it as a platform to do God's will. And in doing His will, to honor relationships. To honor relationships. To honor relationships because God gives me those relationships. Just as there are relationships that God has led me into, there are also relationships that He leads towards me. He directs towards me. Just as God directs me towards relationships, there are also relationships that He directs towards me. And in all these relationships, a hallmark must be what? Honor. Pray for me. Someone say honor. Honor. A hallmark must be what? Honor. Honoring the Lord in honoring relationships. Don't dishonor those relationships. Don't dishonor it. Don't dishonor those what? Relationships. Are we together? Don't dishonor those what? Relationships. See, I don't dishonor relationships. I don't say, oh, what will this one offer me? No. No. It is not about what he or she offers you first. It's about the fact that there's a relationship, they honor it. Oftentimes, your value of relationships also then increase. As, you know, you begin to give and receive in those associations. But look at it. There's a background, a baseline for every relationship. Honor it. We're going to see on Sunday how the epistles shed light on it. The epistles we now talk about in Colossians 4, for example. If you read 18 to 22, Colossians 3, Colossians 4. Colossians 3 from verse 18 to 24, 22, 23, 24, I think. Then Colossians 4 from verse 1, 2, 3. Now see Paul talking to the churches about parents, children, honoring those relationships. Honor the relationships. I'll probably show you on Sunday when he says to love thy neighbor as thyself. You're going to see. You don't say, oh, love your neighbor as yourself. That means, you know, this is I must love my neighbor as myself. So there is myself. Self-love. No, that's not what it's talking about. The Bible doesn't teach self-love. Self-love in the Bible is called idolatry. It's idol worship. It's idol worship. The Bible teaches sacrifice in relationships. So when it says love thy neighbor as thyself, we go see it on Sunday. What does it mean? As thyself. As thyself. That means you are expected to see how you were loved and from where you were loved and what love has done towards you. Then you love others. And in loving others, you are expected to see to it that the work of love that was done in you is done in the others. In loving others, I must see from where I have loved. Because one of the hallmarks of love is that love transforms you. Love transforms. There is no loving without the transformation. If I say to somebody, I love you, it must be that there is a transformation I'm communicating. Love transforms. So I must see where love are taking me from and where I am today as a result of love. So when I extend the love to others, it has a target. Is it clear? My love toward people has a target. There's a place I'm taking them to. That is the meaning of love. So it means I will not stop in the midst of their own words, inadequacies. I will not stop. I will consistently transition them from that point that they are in to the very next point, are we together, that they ought to be as a result of my association to them. And that's what love is. That's what love is. So it says, love thy neighbor as thyself, as you were loved. That means you will see your neighbor the way you see yourself. Who was I, or who, what, you know, in what state was I? What is that thing that I used to be like? Then you see your neighbor, you see that there's actually no difference. The only difference is that you have received a love that is transforming you. So if you love your neighbor as thyself, you communicate that same transforming love to the other. And you see to it that the person is making progress. Another word for love is to ensure the person makes progress. Ensure. So you now see how that love does not forbid correction. Because in loving, you still have to rebuke and correct. You have to chastise in loving. So loving means to ensure that in a faithful way, another makes what? The progress. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. Go and see it on Sunday. So brethren, we have a duty towards to love. Our ministry in our relationships is to walk in the love of God. In the love of God. So honor those relationships. Honor those relationships. Are you a spouse to another? Ensure you honor the relationship. Honor the relationship. Honor the relationship. Honor it. Honor it. Honor it. Honor it. Honor the relationship. Honor the relationship. Give to it. Best to it. Time. Honor the relationship. Honor the relationship. Honor the relationship. Honor the relationship. Parental relationship. Honor it. Honor it. Honor it. Honor it. Honor the relationship. Employee, employer. Honor the relationship. Honor it. Honor it. Colleagues at work. Honor it. We're going to see also that prayer or praying is one of the ways we honor relationships. Praying for the relationship. Praying about that relationship. Are we together? 1 Timothy 2. It says to pray for all men. Mentions rulers and men that are in authority. That means you expect them to honor relationships as offices. Are we together? As offices. Whether you like it or not, there are some relationships that are institutional. They are there. They are there as offices. You honor it. Honor your citizenship. We're going to see on Sunday how Jesus was taken to the high priest. Are we together? He was taken to the high priest. And they screened him. And they found what? No fault. They checked the social media handles. And they observed that there was no fault. And he didn't say to anybody. It shows you Jesus was a good citizen. He said nothing against the government. Jesus was not one of those people that say, come and speak the truth to power. You grab the mic because you are drunk on something, then you start lashing. You know, sometimes we praise people. We praise them because, look at this, we feel that, oh, they are doing something that others are not doing. See, the fact that somebody is doing something that others are not doing is not enough ground to start praising. You must find out what he is doing is also God's word. Today it's easy for you to find a preacher. A preacher will come and then say things like, so the preacher start lashing out at the government. It's all about the media today. You see a preacher come around, take a mic, and start lashing at the president. The preacher will start lashing at the governor. But have you seen in God's word where he says to honor that office? So we raise a generation of believers who have no respect for institution of authority. Have no respect. Have no respect. It says to honor. It says to pray for. As another 30 days to pray for those who despitefully use you. That is, those you don't like, he says to pray for them. He shows you what God does in the midst of relationships. He says to pray for them. He says to pray for them. Today it's easy for a preacher to just get up and pick a mic and face a particular public office and lash, and it will go viral. The 3 minutes, 4 minutes clip will be all over Twitter. Everybody will be sharing it. Yes, 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 yes. This is what we are talking about. Speak the truth. Have you considered whether that is God's word? Jesus was under a reign and a rule of a government he didn't like. And the government that didn't like him. How did Jesus handle ministerial responsibilities under a government that was not for him and he surely definitely didn't like? How did he handle it? And when they came, they found no guide in him. Nothing. He was a good citizen. He was a good citizen. He was a good minister of the gospel in his city, in his nation. Are we together, church? Are we together? So, honor is a hallmark of our relationships. Don't forget what we said about honor. That should be deliberate. It's in activities. That should be intentional. It means I will get busy. I will do something. It means I will protect it. And that is what honor is. Have we been blessed tonight? Have been blessed tonight? Let's rise up, stand to our feet. Just say a word of prayer regarding our associations that will walk in honor. Pray, pray, pray. I walk in honor. I treat my relationships with honor and with the love. The love of God fills my heart regarding my relationships in the home. On Sunday, we're going to take time to pray for our relationships again. We'll do that before the service and after the service. Yeah, let us say a word of prayer right there as you stand. Yep. Honor of God fills my heart. Love of God fills my heart. For all of my relationships. Father, fill my heart with honor. The word fills my heart with love for my associations. Even men that do not seem like they deserve my honor and my love. I find help in your word to function in your image for the sake of your purposes and your plans. Yes. It means there's more to you than you. Yes. There's more to us and our relationships than us. There's more to our relationships than us. Yes. We're going to esteem God's plan. We're going to do God's plan. We're going to carry, we're going to be stewards of God's plans through our relationship.